Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired, and we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
While you're turning there, a mother went to wake her son up for church. How many moms get tired of doing that on Sunday for the third and fourth time, right? Mother went to wake her son up for church one Sunday morning. When she knocked on his door, he said, "I'm not going." Millennials, I'm telling you. "Why not?" asked his mother. "I'll give you two good reasons," he said. "Number one, they don't like me. Number two, I don't like them." His mother replied, "And I'll give you two good reasons why you will get your tail out of that bed and go to church. Number one, you're 47 years old. Number two, you're the pastor." This is our fourth installment of Own the Vision. They say, I study a lot of this. A lot of this, I put it out of my mind because we're not that church. They say that now, in preaching, you can preach more than 25 minutes. And they say that you should never preach time. That fourth, you've already checked out. But if you check out on a series that's four or five, that's on vision, on possession, you need to go back and start listening from number one again. I'm going to tell you, as a believer, taking my pastor hat off, as a believer, I can never get tired of hearing vision. Because vision is faith. And as long as I'm alive on this earth, as long as you're alive on this earth, everybody breathe in real quick. Let it out. That means that God's got a plan for you. That means God's not finished. I don't want to share his business, but I met a gentleman today, 9 days ago. He was shot in his head, through his head. Bullet went in right here behind his ear and came out the back of his head. I talked to him before service. I said, "Do you realize that the very fact that you are standing here having this conversation with me is God declaring to you, I'm not finished with you yet. There is living left to do." So we're going to talk the fourth on Own the Vision, Proverbs 29:18. "Where there is no vision, people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he." Habakkuk 2, verses 2 and 3. "And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the table, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." Turn to your neighbor and tell him, "I'm going to own the vision." Turn to your next door neighbor, your other neighbor, and tell him, "I'm already owning the vision." You may be seated. Great crowd this morning, full of visionaries. God-given vision. Vision that comes straight from the throne room of God into man's heart, man's mind. Just think about this. This kind of stuff just rolls over, especially when we stay a month in a series like this. It rolls over in my spirit when I'm at my barn. It rolls over in my spirit when I'm mowing the grass, when I'm sitting, I'm paying bills. I just have all of this rolling over in my spirit when I was thinking about the vision that God has given me, that this is straight from his heart to my heart. Then my spirit went to the New Testament text that says, "Eye has not seen, ear has not heard," meaning everything God told me, it's bigger. Every vision that God has showcased in you and in your life, it's greater. You say, "Why doesn't God show me everything?" Because it would scare us. If God showed me everything that I'm going to do for the next 62 years of my life, because I'm going to live to be 100, I declare that all the time. If he were to show me what I would do in the next 62 years, I would probably just sit down and just say, "I don't know, Jesus. That's a lot." But the fact that he shows me what I need to do on Monday, and then when I get to Monday, he shows me what I'm going to do for the rest of the week. Then on January 31st, he starts showing me glimpses into February, glimpses into the rest of this year.
glimpses into my 5-year plans, 5-year vision, 10-year vision, life vision, whatever it may be. But he never gives us the total sum. He just gives us parts. But if I like what I see in the parts, my mind begins to expect greater, because if eye is not seen and ear is not heard everything that God has planned, how awesome is his vision for your life? How awesome is his plan for your life? Can I encourage you to turn off the news every now and then, or most of the time? Can I encourage you to turn off the negative influences and friends and hide them on social media and block their numbers or ignore their calls, because you don't need anything diluting the God-given vision for your life? Once God drops it in your spirit, you've got to become the mother to that thing. You've got to incubate it. You've got to protect it. You've got to nourish it. You've got to make sure that what God gives you on January 1st, 2020, that come 1 year from now, you are holding in your hand what God promised you coming into this year. We've got to own the vision, own it. Session one, we talked about a person that does not have vision, not only a danger to themselves, but they're a danger to everyone around them. Said that God can do anything, but he will not do everything. We're going to get back to that in just a moment. Session two, we first talked about the 5 steps. Number one, to know the vision. To know God's vision for your life, God's plan, his purpose for your life, you have to know Christ. You have to know his word, and you have to know the Holy Ghost. You cannot know God's vision without knowing God. You cannot know God's plan without knowing God. So I know God, the person. His name is Jesus Christ. I accepted him in my life many years ago as my Savior. I know him by his word, by the 6,000 promises in 66 books. I know my God by what he has promised me, what he has said about me, and what he has planned for me. And then I know the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost, when I start walking and I lift up my foot, the Holy Ghost says, hold on now, don't go there. The Holy Ghost checks our spirit, does it not? The Holy Ghost leads, guides, directs, teaches, and leads us into all truth. Number two, we learn to speak the vision, to pray the vision, to declare the vision, to prophesy the vision. Man, I'm big on declaration. I was having a conversation with Zeke yesterday at 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock, an hour before our youth service. And we're walking down the aisle, and I said this to him. I said, I have not seen so-and-so in a very long time, and it's been like 18 months. I said, I thought for sure he would have come back to check out the new Catalyst. 6:15, the guy that I said, I wonder where he's at, comes walking through the back door. Zeke said, you prophesied that. He said, not only did we talk about it a couple hours ago, but he said, I remember you saying that alumni that used to come, that had graduated and moved off, would come back. I want to tell you, you ought to never get tired of hearing your mouth declare the promises of God. You ought to wake up saying, I am the righteousness of God. You ought to all day saying, I am healed, healthy, wealthy, and wise. You ought to go to sleep saying, God, you've got a plan for me. You ought to wake up saying, God, I'm going to give you glory. God, give me a fresh dose of your vision, a fresh dose of your anointing. Jesus, God bless my children. Rain down favor on my children. Listen, how many of you got children under the age of 10? Can I tell you what you need to start praying for? Start praying for their spouses. God, keep their spouse pure. God, keep their spouse safe. Call, I thought I'd get a better amen right there. I prayed more about Tyler and Jaden's spouses than I have about a lot of things, because I'm not going to put 18 years of work, blood, sweat, and tears into my children just to see them marry some jabroni that is going to, yep, I said it, jabroni that is going to get them out of the will of God, off of the path of God. And so I declare, God, I pray that Jaden marries some devastatingly handsome man that's worth $1 billion, that can't preach as good as me, that can't let, no. I declare it. You have you ever seen somebody win publisher clearinghouse? You know why they act like that? They didn't expect it. You ever seen somebody act a fool after they score a touchdown? Especially the big linemen. Because they never get to score a touchdown. They go crazy. I love Marshawn Lynch. He scores a touchdown and then he just shakes hands with everybody and walks back to the bench. Why? Because he's done it 150 times. He was expecting to do it when he was at the 1 yard line of the on the other end of the field. Can I encourage you, when God blesses you, you better praise him, but don't act shocked. Why? Because you've had a vision. You've been praying it. You've been declaring it. You've been prophesying it. Somebody say, speak the vision. Session 3, we talked about the third thing we must do, which is share the vision. When you begin to share the vision, you share the vision with your family, your friends, your coworkers. If you're really bold, you share that vision on social media so that everybody can see. But understand, when you share the vision, there's four types of people that are going to show up. The cheerleaders, all they do is pat you on the back, and they are your hype people. They tell you how awesome you are and how good it's going to be, but they make no investment considerably into your life. It's just words. No one goes to the Dallas Cowboys. Well, I was going to say no one goes to see the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders, but there's a couple guys that probably do, so let me retract that statement. Most people do not go to the Dallas Cowboys game or any sporting event to see the cheerleaders, as talented as they might be. They go there for the main course, which is the football game. And so you're going to have some cheerleaders in your life, but understand your cheerleaders do not add anything to or take anything away from your vision. Then you're going to have the true supporters, the ones that come alongside you and lift your hands when you are too weak to lift your hands, that stand in the gap for you when you are on your face before God. And you need those true supporters, and understand this, that you're not going to have a million of them. You're not going to have a million of them. There was 5,000 people that Jesus fed, 5,000 men, 20,000 people he fed with fish and loaves, but there was only 12 that went to the cross with him. Actually, minus one, there was 11. And most of them were so faithless that they thought he was dead for good. So you're not going to have a lot of true supporters in your life. So when you get those true supporters, lean on them, love them, embrace them. Then you're going to have the investors. Those are the ones that pour into your vision. Those are the ones that not only pray, but they put their money where their mouth is. They're the ones that show up to help you build your vision. We're going to get to there in just a minute. Those are the ones that show up when everybody else, the cheerleaders, have gone home, and the supporters that are praying for you, and that's great. But sometimes you need somebody that is actually going to get in the trenches and help you dig, that's going to grab a shovel and help you dig. Can I encourage you? Don't listen to anybody that tells you how to build a fire that refuses to carry logs. And there's a lot of people in your 2020 that are going to tell you how to get your vision to come to pass and what you need to do to make sure it happens and how you're going to do it. But if they're not investing in it, it is merely just words. Remember this, the loudest hecklers are not on the first row. They're in the cheap seats, and they paid a small price to be there. But the ones that are really on your side, the diehard you fans, they paid a lot to get close to you. They're making investments in you. And if they grab a shovel or a log to help you build the fire or dig the hole, then you ought to count yourself blessed that God has brought people along beside you. Then you've got your haters. Someone said the other day, and someone I really respect, they said, all these people talking about haters, you might have people that dislike you. No, I've literally had people tell me they hate me. Anyone that dumps on your vision doesn't love you. If they're silent, they're neutral. But if they come at you, there is a hatred. It might not be for you, but it might be for what God is doing in you or where God is taking you. This is where I learned how to put the devil in his place. I learned that he's not after me. I learned that the devil is after God. I'm just standing in between God and the devil. And so a lot of times he takes shots at God and they hit me. Well, when I understand that he's shooting at God, God said, I'll fight your battles. Why? Because it was never my battle in the first place. If God gives me a vision and God gives you a vision and you get attacked for that vision, it is God's responsibility to say, Brandon, don't worry. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. It is God's responsibility to say, greater am I that is in you, Brandon, than he that is in the world coming at you. It is God's responsibility, if he tells me to walk on water, to make sure that every time I put a step down on a wave, I don't sink. I want to encourage you, don't run from the haters. Embrace the haters, because you need them to get to where you're going, to catapult you to destiny. You don't want haters in your life. Do nothing, say nothing, be nothing. But the moment you leave the house, somebody's going to hate on you for your car. You walk in with a Louis Vuitton belt, whether it's fake or real, they're going to hate on you. Let me just say, 99% of your ex-spouse, they're going to hate on you. They're going to hate on the new person you're with. They're not going to treat you right. Your boss probably doesn't appreciate you. You just have to learn to live with that and say, God, it is all of this manure around me that is going to fertilize my vision and bring to pass. It is not going to take me out. It's going to strengthen my resolve to be what you've called me to be, do what you've called me to do. By a show of hands, how many of you can say, God gave me a vision and it's already come to pass in my life? Raise your hands. Hundreds of hands have gone up. How many of you can say, God gave me a vision and it has not yet come to pass? Raise your hand. So let me ask you this question. If he did it before, why wouldn't he do it again? You say, well, oh, I love this. You say, well, the vision's bigger this time. Yeah, but you're stronger this time. You say, well, man, what he called me to this next season of my life, it seems too big. Yeah, but you're more anointed now than you've ever been before. You're hearing God clearer than you've ever heard him before. You're following God closer than you've ever followed him before. You're in the book reading and studying and meditating more than you've ever before. So I've got good news for you. If he did it before, he will do it again. It's the same God that is working for you. It is the same God that is working in you. If he gave you the vision, it is up to Jesus to give you the strength to fulfill the vision. He did it before, he'll do it again. Number four, here we go, support the vision. Can I just tell you, in 2020, in this woke generation of self-awareness, I get some of it, but I do know at the end of the day, Brandon's flesh. Brandon's flesh wants to do fleshly things. But can I tell you this, in all honesty, and I've never said anything like this, but I want to encourage you to invest in yourself. Before I can help someone else, I need to help myself. I need to make sure that my feet are firmly planted so that when I reach down to help somebody up, they don't pull me down, but I can pull them up to where God has blessed me to be able to stand. And so in 2020, I believe we're going to help a lot of people. But I want Living Way Church to be strong enough that anytime we reach out, we pull people into our peace. We don't allow them to pull us into their storm. We allow people to pull people into joy and don't allow them to pull us into their depression. We pull people into prosperity. We don't allow them to pull us into their poverty. We pull them into healing. We don't allow them to pull us into their sickness. Can I encourage you, invest in yourself. Support the vision. Make sure that you are doing everything within yourself spiritually and physically, so that when you get to the appointed time in the appointed place, you're not too tired, you're not wore out, you're not burnt out, but you were made for this baby. You have built yourself up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Your faith is surging, your Holy Ghost is surging, and everything you need is there so you can become what God has called you to. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, support the vision. See, some of you glad I went that way because you thought when I said support the vision, we're getting ready to take another offering. Man, get that man a bucket. He's amening. Too many times we avoid taking care of ourselves. And on the physical side, Gloria's a nurse, very good nurse, who is getting ready to retire. Praise God. Just a few days left. 5 days left? After how many years in the medical profession? 50 years. 50, that means this is your banner year. That means everything that's been stolen is coming back to you. It's your banner year. I love that. I love that. That means property you used to own is coming back to the original owner. That's you. Things that were taken over the last 50 years is coming back to you. And just give me a second. I declare, come on now, 50 years, 50 longevity, 50 years of service, 50 years of faithfulness, 50 years of work, 50 years of anointing, 50 years of help, 15 years of reaching out. God is getting ready to reach back into your life in Jesus' name. I declare it a banner year, the year of Jubilee, in the name of Jesus. Woo! I felt that. I felt that. And we hit the play button. Sister Gloria can tell you. See, you thought I lost my train of thought. Sister Gloria can tell you, as a medical professional, that all the stresses in life give you
not only heartburn and indigestion, it'll kill you. Heart attack, stroke, chronic fatigue, depress you so much that you'll kill yourself and rob yourself of vision. But let me tell you something. God does not give you anything that should make you stress. Everything that God gives you should lead you in a place of rest, not stress. Because if God is big enough to call me out in faith and say, this is what I want you to do, then when I get to that place, I'm going to be ready. I'm going to be willing. I'm not going to be faint-hearted. I'm not going to be doubting. I'm not going to be jumping back and forth, vacillating between two feelings. I'm not going to be bipolar in Jesus' name. I'm not going to be up and down and all around. I'm going to be focused in my faith. Take care of you. Take care of you and take care of others. Moms, you know this. You're the unsung hero of our world. Because when husbands, we get the sniffles, everything shuts down. We get lots of amens on some of this stuff.
I'm feeling so sick, babe. You go get me some Chick-fil-A chicken noodle soup.
Kids are sick. Mom gets sick. Still goes to work. Still comes home and takes care of her babies of all ages, including her husband. I'm just kidding with you guys. We ain't like that. That's the other church. But if we're not in position to help ourselves and to be strong, then we're not in position to help others. I don't say this to degrade any other church, but Living Way is blessed because we're the size we are, that we're all not weak at the same time. That we're all not down at the same time. That's one of the greatest things about a healthy God marriage, is that two are better than one. Then you put Jesus in a three-banded cord is difficult to break. And so when I'm down, Mandy's not. When Mandy's down, I'm not. If we're both down, we call Tammy. No, you're kidding. I just have to be able to see in the spirit, Mandy's going through something, so I can't go through something. Come on now. Or maybe I've been being a big baby about what I'm going through, and I can shake it off, shrug it off, and be what my wife needs me to be. Or maybe I'm going through a season, and Mandy says, you know, what I'm going through is not as difficult as what he might be facing, and so I'm going to shrug this off. I'm going to put on my big girl pants, as she likes to say to the kids, and I'm going to approach this thing in a whole new different level. You need to support your vision, and how you support your vision is by keeping yourself ready so that when God says move, you can move, and there's no excuses. Have you ever had that kid that you told to be ready to go at 10 o'clock, and at 9:59 you're walking out the house, and they're hopping on one leg trying to put on their shoe, they got their hoodie over their shoulder, they're carrying socks, they forgot their book bag, they forgot their lunch, and they're just dragging? Why? They were not ready. We need to be ready. Support the vision. After you've invested in yourself, invest in others. I found one of the greatest things to bring my vision that God has given me to pass is to support someone else's vision. And when I say support someone else's vision, I mean give to it. I mean do what God tells me to do. Show up and work hard, sweat, bleed for them. Support their vision like you want support for your vision. As you sow it, you're going to reap it. And when you reap it, it's going to be greater than what you sowed. I was walking across the parking lot a few years ago. We were having a conference, and one of my friends was getting ready to start a church. He had actually already started. They were struggling. They were needing some money. And I said, when I have $1 million, I'm going to, and before I could even finish the sentence, he said, no, you won't. I said, no, I won't. He said, you were going to say, when I have $1 million, I'm going to give you $100,000. And he said, no, you won't. I said, how do you know that? He said, because you've never given me anything. He said, if you really believed what you're saying, this was coming to me now. Ouch. Rebuke, reproof. Didn't like to hear it. He said, if you really believed what you're saying, you'd go to your checkbook right now and you'd write me a check for $50. Because that's what you can do. I took my little tail to my office, got my checkbook, wrote him a check for $100. His expectation was $50. I'm going to give $100. Why? Because I expect when I need help with my vision, somebody's going to pour into me. I learned a valuable lesson that day. Don't write checks that you can't cash. Don't speak words that you can't act out. Don't amen it if you're not going to act it out on Monday. Don't get loud in church on Sunday if you're not going to attempt to live it Monday through Saturday. And so when I say amen, I know there's a responsibility. I amen the promise, but God, you're going to amen my work. I amen what you said over me, but God, you're going to amen my effort, because I realize that if I'm going to become what you've called me to be, I'm going to have to put a level of support and work into somebody else. We need the mentality, when one of us wins, we all win. That's why the Bible says this: rejoice with those that rejoice. It goes on to say, grieve, weep with those that weep, meaning when one of us loses, we all lose. I'm ashamed of our country right now. I'm ashamed of both sides of the aisle. I'm ashamed of the aisle. I'm ashamed of everything that's happening on Capitol Hill. It's not a good look for the strongest nation on the face of the earth. Let me tell you something. We were the strongest nation on the face of the earth with President Obama. We're the strongest nation on the face of the earth with President Trump. We'll be the strongest nation on the face of the earth no matter who's elected come November. But we are all losing right now. No one's winning. If he gets removed from office, no one wins. If he stays in office, no one wins. We are all losing. We have to get the mentality as a church. When your vision comes to pass, I'm celebrating. Why? Because you are a part of the body of Christ. When I win, I need you to celebrate, because we are all part of the body of Christ. And when we support one another's vision, vision comes to pass. Got one more. Build the vision. Build the vision. Number five. James 2 verse 17 says, even so faith hath not works is dead, being alone. Yea, a man says, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me your faith without thy work. I will show you my faith by my work. James is having this conversation with someone who is all about faith. They can just say they have faith and everything's fine. You are not saved by your works, but if you have faith, you will have something in your life that proves that you have faith. If you say you have faith, your walk with God is going to show the fruit of your faith. If you say you have faith, your prayers are answered. Your vision is manifested. Your land is possessed. There's too many people in 2020 that are talking the talk but not walking the walk. And people already say, you better walk the walk if you're talking. Come on, we better start talking things that we're already walking. I want to speak to you something that I have proven. I'm like David. I can't wear what you're saying and what you're doing because I have not proven it. But what I have proven is this little rock and this little sling. And the same thing that happened to the bear and the lion is going to happen to Goliath. And I am here to tell you today that when God gives me a vision and I say amen, and I reach down and I bring that thing from the spiritual realm into my heart, now the real work begins. Knowing the vision is important. Speaking the vision is important. Supporting the vision, sharing the vision, all of those things are important, but it doesn't take much effort. So I save the best for last. Your vision no longer depends on God. Your vision depends on how hard you're willing to work to produce the vision of God. You are not going to win the lottery. All of us are not going to be billionaires because we scratched off a ticket. God has a big plan for us, but God needs us to go to sleep tonight thinking vision. Wake up tomorrow thinking vision. Going to work tomorrow saying, I'm going to fulfill my purpose at my job. I know that God's called me to start this business, but before I start this business, I'm going to be the kind of employee that I want when I have my business. I'm in a single season of my life. I'm going to be the most spirit-filled single that I can. I'm going to do everything I can to build and invest in me so that when you bring me that spouse of my dreams, I'm ready to invest in them. Can I tell you, Living Way, that God has called us to greatness?
You've got the faith. You've got the yes. You've got the amen. He's got the promise. But God is looking for somebody's effort to amen today. God is looking for somebody's work to amen today. God is looking for somebody that said, God, if you show me the vision, I will bleed, I will sweat, I will cry over that vision. And you can guarantee this, God, before they lay me in the grave, what you have put in me, you are going to see come out of me. What you have speaking in me is going to come flowing out of me. Stand on your feet. Build the vision.
I've noticed that my biggest critics bring the least amount to the table. I realize that God has blessed me with great men like Jerome, Brother Charlie, great women like Sister Glory, Sister Dahlia Jones. And I love the support that they give me. I got a great family. But when I wake up in the morning, I'm not depending on Bishop to fulfill my vision. I'm not depending on Mandy to fulfill my vision. I look at the man in the mirror, and I say, today we're going to get closer to God than we've ever been. We're going to hear from God like we've never heard. We're going to listen and be led of the Spirit like never before. Why? Because what he's put in me is so great, it can't stay in me. What he's shown me behind my eyes is so great, it can't stay here. I'll bring it into reality. I'm going to own the vision. I don't know what your vision is, whether it's a spiritual thing, spiritual growth, ministry. Maybe it's a family member that's far away from God. Maybe it's a marriage separated right now. There are couples in this room right now that got divorced and then they remarried the same people. If it's God's will, God can do it. I don't know if it's a money issue, but you're tired of working a 9-to-5 dead end. All that can end when you get a vision. Joshua, I'm glad you're the first one in this altar, man. First one in this altar. God's doing something great in you. God's doing something great in you. He's giving you some fresh vision. Giving you some fresh vision. Chris, every time.